You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Shop.clevelandbrowns.com. That's one-stop shopping for the Browns fan on your list. They've got the largest selection of Browns jerseys, apparel, and more. Shop.clevelandbrowns.com, your one-stop shop for all of your Browns needs. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. And tonight is bro night for Cleveland Browns Daily.
That's right.
The Cavs, winners of 7 in a row, coming off of a nice gritty victory over the Detroit Pistons in Detroit yesterday. And again, this team getting very fun to watch. They're playing good deep. By the way, Kyrie Irving just silly last night, dropping 38. I mean, they're coming together. It's like that scene in Major League. It's coming together.
That's right. And what's cool about it is you see, well, we all saw the handshake between LeBron and Kyrie late in the game when he hit that three. And then, of course, after the game. But you can see LeBron looking at Kyrie like, you're getting it, kid, you know, like father to son. And then also, too, today there's an article on ESPN.com, just a little quick blurb about LeBron making comments post-game about Kyrie being a leader. You know, you also, too, see, you know, Kyrie playing a little bit of defense. And so
yes.
I'm excited tonight. It'll be my first Cavs game, you know, in the new LeBron era. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to, you know, get to hang out. And what's cool is, well, going to see a Cavs and go see LeBron play is fun enough, but the fact that they're going to play, the Trailblazers right now are like the third or fourth seed in the West, which is the West is by
West
far and away
good.
The best, you know, conference in all of basketball. So they're it's going to be an exciting game. They're third right now in the West.
They are very, very good, and it is bro night. Me, you, the kid, my buddy Doug Bloom, and your wife.
Yeah, and her father.
And her father.
Who's in from out of town. So we're we appreciate the tickets. We got them from an amazing source. Not amazing tickets, but an amazing source. And you have hooked us up, bro.
Bro, we're gonna totally bro out. Is your wife gonna be able to handle all the bromance?
Oh, for sure. She's had to do it in San Diego with the bros, so it'll be like old times.
And we'll be hitting up Wilbert's before the game,
yes.
A classic spot. So if you want to come
some
down
snacks
there
and drinks,
yeah, we'll have some. I'm sure. Maybe throw back a couple Jamesons, etc. Yeah, some pops, as it were. Yes, indeed. So excited to see them. The kid may buy a J.R. Smith jersey. He said it's the first Cavs player he's ever wanted a jersey of.
I just want to see the tat. It's not going to go. He's got to pull like the mock turtle or the turtleneck with like the tats on it, because him walking around in a J.R. Smith jersey would be a little odd without the tattoos. And maybe he'll do like a little design in his hair.
Maybe he will.
That'd be great. If they win a championship, that'll be a bet.
I think that would be good. I do want to say this, though, about the Cavs. I don't want Dellavedova to play anymore. Come on.
Dellavedova,
come on.
I'll say this.
Come on. Unnecessary.
The only role that I want Dellavedova to have, and I've watched more Cavs games probably in the last seven that they've won, the one role that I love Dellavedova in is inbounding the ball, because he makes a good decision. But I don't want the ball to touch his fingers one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a great cheerleader. First guy off the bench.
Fantastic.
Right? You know, actually, sometimes him and Mike Miller, you know, first off the bench, they're kind of like, they might have their own little competition going on of who can give LeBron or Kyrie or Kevin Love the first little bit of dap off the bench during a timeout.
Were you a big, like, when you were at the point of your career where you were more special teams, were you a big, like, dap giver? Did you like the.
Oh, dude, I was, yeah, I'm pom pom. I'm that guy. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm the guy that runs. There's actually a picture of me. It's funny that you asked. There's a picture of me that made the San Diego Union Tribune. It was early in my career, like maybe my second or third year. I was playing some defense, but on every special team, where LaDainian Tomlinson broke away on like a 70, 80-yard run. You know, late. I wasn't so much like you running down the sideline. You know, I just kind of tracked it the whole way. But I was on the extra point team. So I was like, again, that one of those wings on extra point. You know, so I was running out there for the extra point. And I was like, it was late in a football game. We secured a victory probably in a big game in primetime. And I just run on the field, and which is, you know, within my right. I was running on to go play my role. And I just like, he just jumps on me. And I catch him, because I'm not just going to let him jump on my head. So I like catch him and hold him up for like a second or two. And some photographer got a picture of that. So the cover of the newspaper the next day was me, ironically a defensive player, on the field after an offensive touchdown with LaDainian Tomlinson in my arms. So I definitely was in that role at times in my career.
That's awesome. Who was your best friend that you ever that you made in the NFL?
Best friend for a long time, you know, was Stephen Cooper. He was an undrafted free agent out of the University of Maine. he was an undrafted free agent the year I got drafted by the Chargers. So I spent my first 6 years with him. And you talked about defensive coaches and the time that you spend with each other. And so you got to figure him and I sitting next to each other for 6 years in a meeting room with the same coach. You know, it's you eat lunch together, you do things together, we live together for a little while, you hang together. You know, I know his kids, he knows my kids, he knows my wife. So, great friend of mine. You know, maybe an unrecognizable name, but again, played 8-9 years.
Was a
Pro Bowl alternate a few years during his career, made a ton of tackles.
Yes, he was very good. And remember, we talked about Joe Hayden saying the best secondary in the league, and certainly graded out that way at Pro Football Focus. And you could make the case, given opposing quarterback rating allowed was number one as well. They were tops in many categories. Pro Football Focus just put out their all AFC North team last week, and the secondary is Joe Hayden. Kaywan Williams is the slot corner. Dante Whitner, Tashaun Gibson is the safeties. Jimmy Smith was the only player from another team that even made the secondary there. So certainly they did a very good job on the back end of this defense. Go to our man Chevy in New Jersey. What's up, Chevy?
Hey, guys. Hey, Matt. I thought you were kind of quiet at Ohio State on the sidelines.
Oh, I was. Because I was always catching my breath because I made so many tackles when I was on the field.
Exactly. You were like stoic on that team. But I want to go back to the last championship the Browns had, Frank Ryan. He played very average his first 5 years. And then in year six, he said it was a quarterback coach that told him to pretend like it's a girl in a bar that you like. How about a Johnny Manziel reference there? And throw it right to her face or right to her eyes. He taught him to throw more accurately. So if we get this quarterback coach and he works on fundamentals, you know, the sky's the limit for our offense, especially if he's a petting guy. Thanks, guys. Great show.
Appreciate it, Chevy. Good to be with you as always. Yeah, listen, anybody who can get the most out of these guys, I don't care if they played, didn't play, whatever, certainly that's who I want in here helping these quarterbacks. And listen, Mike Pettine's going to have a young staff. He's going to have an inexperienced staff, but he's going to have his staff. And I think that's what he wants, and I think that's what he's got. And I think that now we'll find out how the Mike Pettine staff is going to do. I trust in Mike Pettine, like many of our callers did earlier, and hopefully it will work out for the Cleveland Browns. Great to have Joe Hayden on the show. If you missed it earlier, definitely you can get it online at clevelandbrowns.com, or you can get it on the Browns mobile app as well. Andrew Gribble will be writing an article at clevelandbrowns.com as well. It'll also have the interview from CBD today. That'll be at clevelandbrowns.com later today, so you can check that out as we kind of have that story covered from all the different angles. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in Russ Landy, former Browns scout himself, and he is the founder of GM Junior Scouting and the author of the GM Junior Draft Guide. He just put out his first mock draft, and in that draft, he had the Browns take Devontae Parker, the wide receiver from Louisville, at 12, and all-world running back Melvin Gordon from Wisconsin at 19. Russ, thanks so much for being with us here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Love being on the show.
Certainly happy to have you here. As you look at this draft class and you look at the Browns, you decided to attack the offensive side with the wide receiver Parker at 12, Gordon at 19. How did you come to those picks?
Well, I think it's just two things really stuck out to me, which is if Josh Gordon is not going to be a part of the team this coming year, which that would be my guess based on everything I've heard, they need a receiver. Obviously,
yep.
If Manziel's going to have guys to throw to, Devontae Parker to me is the second best big receiver behind Darrell Green Beckham in the draft. So that would give them one weapon. And I think they need to find, I mean, we all can look at Manziel and say, oh, it was a terrible rookie year, but let's be realistic. It was a few games, he's a rookie, but all quarterbacks, when they're young, need a rushing game in order for them to be productive quarterbacks as they grow, so they can play off the play action, do the things necessary to be effective. Melvin Gordon would give him that back. And I know for Matt, he'd rather wait the year and get Ezekiel Elliott. But for this year, let's go with Melvin Gordon. He's a pretty good back, and he'll do the job for him.
So, Russ, does that mean you are not a big fan of either Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell?
You know, I think they're good backs. I think the difference is this guy, to me, is a potential to be a game changer. Now, he's not a perfect back by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's such a dynamic weapon that he wouldn't just be a guy who can get a few yards here and there and average 4 yards a carry. I think he's a guy who can change games with the ball in his hand one time. And I think the Browns are going to need a multitude of weapons to build a unique offense around Manziel, because if they don't build an offense that suits his skill set, he has no chance of success in the NFL.
And I guess for us, you know, we were a little not, I don't want to say shocked, but taken aback, just because I know from the statement from Ray Farmer at the end of the season, he was enamored with the with Terrence West. Maybe not so much his attitude at times during the season, but what he was able to do. Of course, Ben Tate started the season as a starter, and I know that the Cleveland Browns fans right now are looking at those two picks in the first round and really feel like they have to get home runs and knock them out of the park, because last year's are in such a question, and Justin Gilbert not really doing much defensively, and Johnny Manziel coming in and kind of falling on his face. Do you still feel that running back is a home, getting Melvin Gordon is a home run, and that the Browns, it's a necessity for the Browns, because this is a Browns team that, as ESPN just said, is seven players away from potentially making their way to the Super Bowl?
Well, I don't know if they're home runs. I mean, I'm of the philosophy you just got to get singles. If you get singles every year, you don't miss on your first-round picks, you're fine. You don't have to hit home runs. Is Melvin Gordon going to be a star? I think he will be, but the reality is running backs have a high bust rate. But if I were to bet on one, I feel pretty confident that he's a guy who can be not only an explosive, dynamic weapon, but I think can really take the pressure off their passing game, because – with West there, who has the strength and power to be a good back, and Crowell there, you would have sort of that one dynamic guy and the two guys who can really provide sort of the other carries. You don't have to burn Melvin into the ground with 25 carries a game. I think it'd be a great fit. I'm not saying anybody's a home run and short of not failing, but to me, he's a pretty good bet to be a good, solid running back in the NFL with big playability.
Talking with former Browns scout and founder of GM Junior Scouting, Russ Landy, on the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now. Russ, you talked about not missing on the first-round picks. And if you look at the Browns draft from last year and get rid of those guys, it's a pretty good draft. First-round picks have struggled. Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel. What were your evaluations of them coming out last year, and how confident are you that they can turn it around here for the Browns in year two and going forward?
Well, I mean, Gilbert's a unique guy because, really, he's a big, tall corner who can run. He's very raw technically. He doesn't excel when he has to play off the ball. The only thing he's really, to me at least, showed at Oklahoma State was if you put him in press, he's got a decent chance to be a solid corner. I think he has a lot of work to do to be a good starter. Manziel, to me, is a different story. I liked a lot of things about him coming out. I had him as my top quarterback as a good second-round pick a year ago. But as I said at the time, and I believe this in my heart of hearts, 28 of the 32 teams he probably fails with, because he needs a open-minded, very creative offensive coordinator to build an offense around him. If you expect him to do many of the traditional things, the three-step and the five-step quick-hitting passes, and make that the foundation of your offense, I think you're going to fail with this kid. I think you need to do a lot of movement stuff, a lot of play action, a lot of bootleg to take advantage of what this kid's skill set is, which is he has rare ability to throw on the move. He's one of the best deep ball throwers I've ever evaluated. Take advantage of those skill sets. Don't try to force him to do what he, at this point in his career, is not good at, which is those quick-hitting three- and five-step drop passes. Not that you can't ever use them, but don't use them all the time.
And is that why you believe that getting a big receiver like a Devontae Parker is so important for this team?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, when you look at what Josh Gordon brought to the team when he was there, and now if you bring in another big guy to replace him, it gives you a chance not only to have a guy who can make those catches over the middle, but it gives you a guy that if Johnny is flushed and in a tough situation, he can put a ball high that nobody else can get an opportunity at but his big receiver. And that's one of the nice things. If you look at the Chargers for many years when they were winning with Phillip Rivers and North Turner, they had giant receivers, and it allowed Phillip to sort of throw the ball up at times because he knew his big guys would go get it. And that's what Devontae Parker can bring, which would help a young quarterback like Johnny Manziel.
How do you feel Ray Farmer and Coach Pettine in their first year in their current duties at general manager and head coach did here for the Cleveland Browns?
You know, I think they did a great job. I mean, I think when you look at the draft, and we actually talked about it on Tuesday at 120 Sports, is if you don't include their first-round picks,
right,
the Browns draft is an A+. And you never want to write off a quarterback, especially in his first year. So if Manziel develops into a good starter, even if he's a unique one, but a good one, then it's a great draft. So I think no doubt there they did well. I think the way the team played, the way they competed every single game, despite the uncertainties at quarterback with the Hoyer thing coming in and out of the lineup, to me, I think they did a great job. I think that the arrows pointed up. And the reason I believe a running back is so key, a dynamic one, and a receiver, is they've got a strong offensive line. They have a very, very good defense. If they can just control the ball and give Manziel a chance to develop, I think they have a chance to stay in games. And if they're close in games late, he has the ability to make some creative plays to win some of those games.
Talking with Russ Landy, former Brown scout. Russ, when you look at this draft coming up now, everybody knows Winston, they know Mariota. Chances are with the Browns at 12, they don't have a shot at either one of those quarterbacks if they wanted to add another guy to the mix to compete with Johnny Manziel from the draft. After those two, who do you like as the third or fourth quarterback that maybe could be a second, third round pick or an option for the Browns?
You know, I really don't know if there's a guy in the second round that I'd want to take a chance on, but in that third round, or fourth round even, two guys, and actually from the same state, which is Chris Bonner, a quarterback out of Colorado State Pueblo. To me, is a very good quarterback, about 6'6 and a half, big arm, very good athlete. I really like this kid as a future starter in the NFL. And Garrett Grayson from Colorado State, a kid that he's not a prototypical big, strong arm guy, but he's got a quick release. He gets the ball accurately to his receivers on quick hitting throws. Those two guys are guys you wouldn't have to take high in the draft, but I think in that third to fourth round, they'll both be available, and I think they both have starting potential.
Russ, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. And you guys can check him out. He is, again, former Brown scout and, of course, the founder of GM Junior Scouting and the author of the GM Junior Draft Guide. You can get him at RussLandy.com, RussLandy.com, on Twitter at Russ Landy. Russ, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks so much for having me on today, guys. Thanks,
you got Russ. It. That was good stuff there. We're done today, so we're going to kick the mailbag to tomorrow's show. Thanks to Joe Hayden for showing up and talking with us here today. Thanks to Russ Landy for being with us as well. Thanks to all of you for your great calls at 216-578-0850. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. They're coming up next, and we'll be back with tomorrow. We'll recap Bro Night, CBD Bro
yeah.
Night at the Cavaliers.
That's right.
Cleveland. Yes, indeed.
Celebrating the win streak, hopefully.
Yeah, the eighth in a row, hopefully. Yes, indeed. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah.